What are you, nephew?
A king.
What's your mother?
A queen.
What am I?
A queen.
Are you proud to be black?
Yes.
Are you proud to be black?
Yes.
Say it like you mean it.
I'm black and I'm proud.
I'm gonna need you to say it louder than that.
I'm black and I'm proud.
I'ma keep yelling, black for the win. Look at your black skin, beautiful black woman. Ain't nothing like a big old strong black man. I can't stop staring at him. Look at your big old black eyes, the windows to the soul. When I look into them, I see all your black pride. See, black will never die, no matter how much blood we bled. Black don't crack, cause we moisturize from all those tears we shed. We are black kings, black queens, monarchs more than leaders who led. We are gods and goddesses, created culture, nothing but pure brains. Till I die, I put that on Kane. Moonwalking with the faith, with the glitter gloves and the Jesus chain. We meditate, pray every day, looking for better days. I'm rooting for everybody black, yeah I said it, cause we about to celebrate. They used to put us down, but we slowly rising up, I bring to the clouds. Remember when they said we wasn't enough, told us we wasn't allowed. They used to break us down, but we break the chains now, look at us now. Say my name, say my name, say my name, I'm black and I'm proud. Let's go.
Welcome to Africa 500. Thank you, diaspora, and everyone across the globe of African descent for joining us today. Today we have a very powerful show. Y'all joined us last week, which was an excellent show with Bobby Rocks, talking about child support enforcement and the invisibility, the war on black fathers. Very powerful show, talked about the courts, the debts. And so me and Brother Ty are back again to speak to y'all. Brother Ty, you gonna say hello?
Hello.
All right. Brother Ty is here speaking power of the truth. We have our returning political commentators with us, and y'all are going to be excited.
More than.
And of course, Brother Ty has always reminded me that this today's Africa 500 and always is sponsored by Wharton Modern Movers, a historically black business over 120 years old. Very important. So today we are going to be talking about the next two shows to save the diaspora. Today we're going to have Francois Ndingwe. He is a publisher. He's been on us quite a few times before, a publisher of Le Homme's Afrique and La Femme Afrique magazines. Very important on this day, Wednesday, July 12th. And then following him, next week's show, we have a returning political commentator. I know y'all going to be very excited. We got Grandmother Walks on Water back with us. She's had on her last journey the last year and a half. So we're excited to have her back. And again, that show is also State of the Dancer. All right, folks. So we're going to go ahead and just want to check and see if I guess. Brother Francois, are you with us? Brother Francois,
I am with you. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very clearly. Thank you so much for agreeing to join us. Again, you were with us last month talking about the state of the diaspora. How are things going? And thank you for being back with us. How are you?
Thank you again.
Uh-huh.
I'm fine. Thank you again. I would want to thank all the listeners. Yes. And I thank Brother Ty in advance.
Okay. All right. All right, folks. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to begin. We're going to get set up. We're going to hear just a little bit of Fele, and we're going to come back. We're going to make sure our guests are all set up, and then we're going to go ahead and begin the show, State of the Diaspora, the New Middle Passage. This is Africa 500. That was just a little sampling. Fele Kuti from Nigeria, Water, No Get Enemy. Before that, you heard Taronda Jones, both of them talking about black power. All right, Brother Francois, are you with us?
I'm with you. Thank you very much.
Okay, very good. I wanted to talk about, it's a lot going on in the diaspora, a lot going on with our African countries, Caribbean, a lot of summits, a lot of conferences going on. I wanted to speak to you about this movement, and we talked about it a little bit last month. And Brother Ty, you could jump in. This movement to try to engage the diaspora. I recently saw where the Kenyan president, Kenyan Ruto, was at an economic summit, him and some others, and they were talking about the debt and the significance of that. I want to play just a little bit of that. Let's play just a little bit of that. But I want to ask you, Brother Francois, what about this movement to bring all the diaspora together? How important is that for us right now in this moment in time, Brother Francois?
Well, thank you again. This is probably the most important time for this movement in the history of Africa on the two sides of the Atlantic. You know that one of our problems as a people is that during what they call the slave trade, there was two phenomena that, to my view, have not been sufficiently studied. The first one is that the Europeans, whether in America or in Europe, they kept the communication links with them. There was not a single day without a communication. The language, the magazine, the ideas. So there was a constant two-side flow of communications between the whites in Europe and their cousin that has set in America and who was exploiting and enslaving our brothers. That was the first phenomenon. The second phenomenon is that these same two groups of white people, they colluded to build a thick wall of communication between the Africans in Africa and the Africans who unfortunately were enslaved in the Americas. So for almost four centuries, This communication between the two African communities, the African community in Africa and the African communities in the Americas, we did not have communications. And this was purposefully. After the independence, think the so-called independence of the 1960s in Africa, things started to emerge. The Africans on the both sides of the Atlantic started again to extend their hands to one to another. And I can give you what Malcolm X did.
Let me ask you, Brother
Francois. In 1964, he created...
Brother Francois, I want to ask you. The call that the African countries are making now for the diaspora to come together, we know this was a call that Kwame Nkrumah strongly, him and others, it was a wave. Professor Lumumba, a Kenyan lawyer and activist, talks a lot about the history of this. How is this significant? Now, does this matter to us in North America? Should we heed this call? Is it important to us?
It is critical. It is perhaps the most important. Why? Because, and this goes with what I was just saying, they just wanted to cut the blacks in the Americas with their brothers and sisters in Africa. Why they, the Europeans, Americans, they kept all the links with their brothers and their cousins in Europe. And when they concentrate, they put you in a small circle, preventing you to communicate with the mother continent, you appear as a minority. The political system, the economic system, is designed to make you a permanent minority class. Yes, when you look, you open the figures, you open the angle, you see, oh, we have brothers and cousins in Africa, which is your land. Africa is the land of the African Americans. There is no doubt in my mind. And you then see that Africa's population will be 2.4 billion inhabitants. Africans, that will be almost China and perhaps India combined. Not exactly, but not very far from it. You are part of that great demographic force. My message is to blacks in the Americas is that you are not a minority. They have engineered a system to maintain you as a minority. But if you reconnect with the motherland, you are instantly part of the majority. And this changes the through the perspectives on anything from politics to economy to culture to sports, etc. So this call for diaspora, it looks like the African leaders are becoming conscious of it. It's something that every single African Americans, and not only in the USA, but in Brazil, in the Caribbean, they must take very seriously.
When you say, and that is significant, you used the word, you said it brings together, it would change right away. The economics, the political. Brother Taj, you listen to Brother Francois, he on the American side, us Africans in America. In particular, the economic side and what was taken from us. What position would that begin to put us in? What would that do for us Africans here in America?
Well, being a group that's been dispossessed of wealth by us connecting back to Africa land, that will enhance our political and economic position. Because as we shake hands with our African brothers and sisters in Africa, we again are reclaiming our heritage. And part of our heritage is Africa land with all its wealth. And this is what the Europeans in Europe and the white Americans don't want to happen. Because once that happens, you can't control us as a group of people. We become bigger. We become bigger than America, than American politics. We become bigger than America economics. We lose the narrative of being Negro. Because a Negro people are ahistorical. Ahistorical means that you have no knowledge of history. You're not part of history. But by us reclaiming and reconnecting with Africa, we lose that particular narrative that was taught us by the Europeans in Europe and the white people. And when we lose that narrative, we gain our economic, our political, and we reclaim the memory that was lost.
Powerful.
And we are empowered again. And you will see that, in the coming years as we evolve. Now, you got to keep in mind that this situation, transatlantic slave trade, is part of an evolutionary process. And we were dispersed throughout all of the Americas. And not only here in America, but in Brazil, South America, wherever we've been dispersed to, we're going to start to come back. We're going to reclaim our history.
Powerful. You speak to regaining our position, regaining our memory, which is important. And that is what the erasure of this slave Atlantic trade and others did. Brother Francois, I want to go back to you. In harmony with Brother Ty was saying, as far as the economic piece, there's a book by Edward Baptiste. We've mentioned it often. The other half has not been told, where he speaks about the tremendous amount of energy our enslaved African ancestors had to put in to keep the plantation, to build this empire, global empire, going. Profound. Amos Wilson, Dr. Amos Wilson, social worker, he talks about transduction of energy being redirected. It was a recent summit, and President Ruto of Kenya, he speaks about that. We're going to play it. He talks about the economic piece, but in particular, he specifies, he talks about the debt. We're going to hear a little bit, and I want to get your thought on that, on the significance of what he's saying and what the call he's putting out to the Western world.
UN Secretary General said on this podium this morning that there are countries that are paying 8 times in interest what the rest are paying. He was actually referring to those of us in Africa and largely in the global south. We're paying 8 times. And that is why our being in debt is not by default. We were set up.
Excellent. That was President William Ruto talking about debt. Brother Francois, as you listen to that, and you're speaking about the economics, Brother Ty is speaking about the economics, he's talking about the debt that was set up by design. What's your thoughts on that? What is the significance of what he's saying in that type of setting?
Sister, tell me, this is a topic on which I can speak for an hour, but I know that I don't have the time to speak. This is a critical role that the so-called international community has managed to put on the neck of the African government. And President Ruto of Kenya, who attended this meeting in Paris, the meeting was held on the 22nd and 23rd of June. That is just a few weeks ago. President Ruto is saying the truth. Let's just watch it. He's mentioning that some countries are paying 8 times in terms of interest rates for the same amount of money what the other countries are paying. And this, even though we had not named some countries, we know that these countries are mainly African countries. And one wonders, why is it like that? It is because the international financial system was designed for that purpose. You have what they call the rating agencies. Are you with me?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yes. So they are creating artificial indebtedness, and they will give very negative rankings, rates, to African countries, forcing them to pay interest rates that are very large. That's the first problem. The second problem is that we should turn the fault. The fault is not only on the creditor, but on the debtors as well. When you are a government and you want to take a loan, there are three indicators you must be very careful about. The first one is, in what currency are you taking the loan? If you are the US government, it's not a problem for you because you take the loan in dollars and you can print as much dollar as you want. But if you are a Kenya, if you take the loan in dollars and you have to pay back in dollars, it means that you have to earn those dollars in order to pay back the interest. Meaning that instead of building schools, instead of building hospitals, instead of building roads, you will be forced to sell some crops or some raw materials in order to earn dollars with which you will pay the debt.
Brother Francois, later President Ruto goes on to say that they are paying Kenya alone $5 billion a year to service the debt. That's what you're just saying now.
Yes, this is nonsense. Because you are a country like Kenya, your priority number one would be to build hospitals, to build schools, in order to improve your human capitals. You are paying the debt You are paying this large amount of interest, and you don't even know what was that amount of the loans in the first time.
Wow.
Because if you go and look in the books, you may see that if they had announced that there was a loan of, say, $100 million to Kenya, given by the World Bank or the IMF, you may be surprised, but maybe on that $100 million, half of it will remain in Washington, and only the other half will reach Kenya. But the poor Kenyan people will have to sweat to sell all what they have in order to collect the amount of dollars to pay back the debt. So this is a system that is organized to be perpetuated against the economic development in Africa. But as I say, it is not only the creditors that we can blame. We have to blame the African governments as well, because they have to speak the truth to their people. And His Excellency President Ruto, if I were in his place, I will call out a public town hall. I will say to the Kenyan people, these are the books of our government. This is the state of our debt as of today. Let us look inside. If we indeed receive the amount of money that was announced, and you will see many surprised.
You know, Brother Francois, later, a few minutes after President Ruto, he says that they're asking these international banks to stop the payment of the debt. He said, like, for the next 10, 20 years, so we can have instant, right away liquidity. He said to do just what you're talking about, hospitals, roads, waters. And it's profound what you're saying. The countries are trying to pay all this debt that they can't even build human capital, can't even build human resources, can't even build schools, because everybody's slaving. This is re-enslavement just to pay the debt. And then I want to get Brother Ty's thought, because when I saw him, heard him speak last week's show, we were talking about the child support enforcement courts here in America and the amount of monies that the fathers have to pay. But Richard's shaking his head. I think it's like $12 billion that's owed in child support. They may say the woman is supposed to get $500 a month, $600. She only gets half of that. The government keeps the other half. The man, most people on child support, they are operating annually. Like,
about the child support and the fact that only a portion of what is announced arrived to the girl.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, we should not look only at the problems. We should also, you remember that on the August 15, 1971, President Nixon severed the link between the U.S. dollars and the gold wealth in favor of these countries that is using its currency and can almost buy the whole world. All the pain they have is to take a piece of paper being proposed today.
Yes.
Through, for instance, what they call the BRICS.
Uh-huh.
But that is another topic.
Yeah, but that is one answer. Brother Ty, what is European of white supremacy, Brother Ty?
And that logic says that I, the white man, am superior to all other groups of people on the planet, especially people of color, who are basically inferior to me. Now, how the logic plays out in terms of white supremacy racism, based on what Brother Francois has said, is this. The logic is based on material wealth, the accumulation. The key word is accumulation of material wealth. The white man wraps himself in material wealth because that is what gives him power. And if you notice, the greenback is the color green. It gives him color that he don't have. But beyond that, he is the only one in this whole picture that we're talking about that is super rich, super billionaire. He has all the wealth, and we have none. That's basically plantation. It's a plantation kind of mechanism. Mm. And Francois was talking on the international level. But when we talk about white supremacy, racism as a logic, it goes not only international, it goes national, and it goes local. Because the idea is to keep the people enslaved. And on this level, Tamiko is talking about child support enforcement. Half the population here in America, the black men, on child support enforcement. Mm. And what most people don't understand is that they can lock you up.
Yes.
They can take your license. Why would you take a man's license if you want him to pay a bill for his kids? Mm. Because if you take his license, he can't get employed.
And your passport.
Your passport. Yes. So all of it's intentional in the first place. It ain't about justice. It ain't about righting some wrong that some man had a baby by some woman and he got to pay for. It's about enslavement. Mm. And what people got to understand is that the white man, his whole objective is to keep people of color enslaved 6,000 years. And the question that needs to be asked is, why or how could a people who call themselves human beings enslave 35 to 50 million people during the transatlantic slave and out of that 35 to 50 million, probably about 30, 35 million of them died before ever reaching the places that they eventually ended up at, South America, North America, the Caribbean Islands, etc. Who could do such a thing, murder, rape, etc., to a group of people? And the whole thing is the enslavement process, exploitation, continues even up until today. That's why the African countries are crying because, as Francois has said, after the revolutions during the 1950s, starting with the Nkrumah in Ghana, the African leaders accepted neocolonialism as a way to make it. And that put them back in debt with the IMF and the World Bank. But at the same time, the connection between Africa and the people in the diaspora is based on that political, economic, social situation. Because what happens in Africa happens to us in America. Mm. Everything is connected. It's part of the enslavement process and of all the people of color.
We've got to get up off of it. We got to get them up off of us.
Well,
we have got to we
have reached a point in history where, in terms of the world the way it is today, that we have to make a choice either to be slaves, which will eventually lead to our genocide, or make a choice to be free as human beings in the world like other cultures who control their narrative, who control their economics, who control their politics. That is really the only choice that we have left. And because of the oppression has been so great over the last hundreds of years, it had reached a point, a critical point now, where in terms of oppression, oppression produces its opposite. Its opposite is the need to be free. And this is what is This is what's happening now. People are becoming consciously aware of their enslavement, and they want to be free.
Brother Francois, did you want to respond to what Brother Ty just said? And then we're going to take a little break, y'all, and then we're going to come back. Brother Francois.
Brother Ty uses, that's why I really want love to listen to him. He uses the words to express exactly the state of the situation accurately. And I have noticed that he has said that the exploitation continues up to today. He also added that everything is connected. And when everything is connected, it means that there is a system that is in place to perpetuate what you, Sister Jeremy, has said, that we've never left the plantation. Hmm. You said it. And Brother Ty, when he speaks of everything is connected, is that we have to go to look at the system. It's not a question of a man, of individuals. It is a system that is in place. It is not because you have a Biden president today, or yesterday you had Trump, or tomorrow I don't know who, in the international system, the World Bank. You have to look at the system, mm-hmm. and we have to break that system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when we break that system, mm-hmm. we as a black people, there is no way that we will not be the wealthiest and the most prosperous people on this earth.
Wow.
Africa, why do you think all the people are scrambled to Africa? Africans never scrambled to go to Europe. It is the Europeans who came to Africa. Mm-hmm. Their land was bare. Mm-hmm. They did not have everything. For 400 years, they are on our back in Africa. Because this is where the wealth is. Why are the Americans, the white Americans with a company, coming to Africa? Because it is in Africa that you have the wealth. Where do you have your Carlton to produce your phone, your iPad and your iPhone and everything? It is in Africa. Why do you think the Chinese are flocking into Africa? Because it is in Africa that you have the wealth. I have looked at 15 natural resources without which there is no modern industry. Out of these 15, Africa is number one in terms of the stocks, in terms of the what we have under the earth, not exploited. It's number one in quantities. And in terms of exploited, it is number one in terms of the stocks on reserves. And on all the 15, and it is number one in terms of production on 14, and second on the last one, 15. It means the amount of wealth in Africa, despite the fact that Europeans have been over-exploiting this continent for 400 years, we still have the wealth that will make Africa the wealthiest. I'm not saying the second. The wealthiest people on this earth. Wow. But for that, we have to break the system that Brother Ta has, even though he has not used the word, but by saying that everything is connected, he's talking about the system. And the system is the white supremacy that is from the USS, the US government and the European governments. They are colliding in order to prevent Africa to be strong and to reconnect with the brothers and sisters in the Americas. And I will finish with one just thing. I think it is Brother Ty again who mentioned the name of Nkrumah and Lumumba. So when you see that, what you should ask to yourself, what happened to these two leaders? These are the leaders who understood the system and who were ready to connect with the brother and sister in the Americas and to build a strong and the wealthiest Africa that I've mentioned. The United States of America murdered Patrice Lumumba on the 17th of January 1961. This was a murder ordered by Eisenhower, the president of the United States. And as they were murdering him, he was delivering his outgoing message in which he was warning the American people against the military-industrial complex. So while delivering that meeting, that address, he knew that his people on ground, the CIA, were there to murder Patrice Lumumba.
Hmm.
5 years later, on February the 24th, 1966, the same U.S. government organized a coup and overthrew Kwame Nkrumah.
Hmm.
This is to show you that on the side of Africa, because this government were not strong enough, the United States of America, in collusion with the government of France, of Great Britain, and all the colonizers of Belgium, they take for themselves the responsibility to go and kill the African leaders who are working for the development of Africa. These leaders have done nothing wrong against the United States. They haven't attacked the United States. They haven't attacked anything, but the United States feel that they are allowed, they have the power, they can go and kill. So the accusation at the day was that they were communists.
As you speak, Brother Francois,
which was false.
Yeah, as you speak, it's so powerful. This thing is so deep, you know, just the context. But as you speak, and this the amount of wealth that's been generated, I think Brother Ty mentioned, once you, I think, you get that kind of wealth, you don't want to let go. You want more. You don't want it to stop. You want it to continue forever. Go ahead, Brother Ty. You had a thought.
Right after the Civil War here in the United States, the enslaved people was worth more in terms of money than the Southerners had themselves or the federal government combined. The enslaved people were worth more money than the federal government of the United States and the Southerners and their colonies put together. And what it was then in terms of us having no wealth of our own, it was about 4 million people released after the Civil War, and 99% of us were in poverty. And today, what is this, 1865, 1965, 125, 150 years later, the situation, the structural economic situation is still the same way today in terms of people of color having no wealth whatsoever. They say we're worth $1 billion in terms of being consumers, but what is a consumer? That's not a manufacturer. That's not a person that owns anything. That's paper money.
As Brother Francois speak, our listeners, you can hear the depth. And I think the main thing that's coming out is that the system has not changed. Despite everybody's on the plantation, but you just being moved around don't mean that you off the plantation. So your houses may get better. You may have some cars, you may have some trinkets, but you just moving around it. You just moving around. The system is in place. And as Brother Francois says, the system has got to be broken. Folks, we're going to take just a little break. We're going to come back. We're going to discuss a couple more things. One of the things that you both mentioned was Kwame Nkrumah. You're talking about Pan-Africanism. I want to speak to, it's been a constant call. It's a big call right now from our African leaders and Caribbean leaders about a Pan-African educational system, how the one that's left behind still in place is colonial across the diaspora in America, slave education, basically to uphold the system. But also I want to speak to just a little bit about CARICOM, the Caribbean folks, how they're coming together, but also just the importance of a Pan-African education. So we're going to play a little bit of Fela Kuti, just a list about men of him, and then we're going to come back and talk about the importance of Pan-Africanism at this time as a means to break the system, as you all say.
Thank you.
right, folks, Diaspora, if y'all just joined us today, we are discussing State of the Diaspora. This is a monthly series with our guest, Brother Francois Ndingwe, State of the Diaspora, A New Middle Passage. We're having just a profound conversation talking about the system, where Africans are placed, how it has not changed, and how it has affected the economic political position. I had mentioned before we went to a break about the need, the call about a Pan-African educational system to uproot the colonial educational system. Brother Ty, as I was mentioning that, you were saying that we need an African-centered education here for the States. And then I'm going to go to Brother Francois about trying to change the colonial education system, just abolish it, to one of African, Pan-African. Go ahead, Brother Ty. Mm-hmm.
This is a kind of complex subject. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hard to explain, but I'm going to explain it. And I'm talking in terms of the psychological. Here in the the United States, most of us people of color, white people too, but people of color have been socialized, indoctrinated, educated in a particular way. And we have been socialized, educated, indoctrinated out of our minds. Let me repeat that. We have been socialized, educated, indoctrinated out of our minds. What does that mean? We suffer from amnesia. Amnesia is a forgetfulness in terms of people of color, of their history, who they are, and what they are, where they came from. We suffer from anxiety. Anxiety is based on fear. Fear of what? You have to think about the enslavement process and all that was done to us. We suffer from alienation. Alienation impacts your motivation and your value system. Your motivation and your value system. Alienation means that you have been separated from your natural self. So if you've been separated from your natural self, how do you exist? Where do you exist? And this is what you come up with the word Negro. The white man named is Negro. Negro comes from the word Negro, N-E-C-R-O, and it means something dead. So everything that we've been taught, oh, one other thing. 1933, Carter G. Wilson, the genius, wrote a book called The Miseducation of the Negro. And he said, I'm paraphrasing him, he said, you ain't got to tell a slave what to do. Once you indoctrinate him, he gonna cut a hole in the back door. He going to go through the back door. He's not going to come through the front door. Mm. And we in a position like that right now. We've been cutting holes through the back door instead of thinking and operating from our own particular narrative. So psychologically, with people of color, we have been psychologized, and we suffer from adhesion. Adhesion means that we are so connected with white people that we want to be like them. Hmm. We want to act like them. And eventually, we want to be destroyed like them, because this is what's coming down the pipe. This is what's happening now. And so, Tommy Cole used the term Pan-African education, but I use the term an African-centered education. Hmm. An African-centered education will deconstruct the dysfunctional relationships, the dysfunctional ontology, the reality that we believe in. It will disconnect us from the epistemology or the way the world is supposed to look like in terms of the Eurocentric ideology. It will disconnect us from the axiology, the value system that was set up by Europeans, the value system that black people are supposed to live by, that we can't live by, that we're oppressed by. And so an African-centered perspective is a perspective that will reintroduce us to an African worldview where we can consider the spiritual and the material in a balanced way. And we also will reconnect us with our divine, back to our Creator. We need that. If we don't do it, we lost.
Thank you, Brother Ty. You mentioned a couple of things unpacked about African-centered education to disconnect us from white people, from the psychology, the cosmology. Go ahead, Brother Ty. You had another thought before I go back to Brother Francois.
Yeah, you this is the most serious thing in terms of what we're talking about. When it comes down to talking about people of color, it's our mind. Our mind has been tampered with. And because of, so loss of memory, let me say this and I'm going to shut up. Loss of memory or stolen memory, that's a better term. Our memories were stolen from us. And when you steal a person's memory or a group of people's memory, you have tampered with their conscious awareness of themselves. And when you tamper with the conscious awareness of a people's awareness of themselves, those same people cannot interpret their personal and their social reality correctly. So we live right now at this very moment. It's hard for most of us to understand, but we live an illusion. We don't live in the real world. We live based on the function of a group of people who have created a story for us about who we are and what we are and how we are supposed to live. And because we function like that based on what they have established for us, we are moving closer and closer to a genocidal completion.
As you spoke again, you tied to education and memory. You tied memory to education, which I think is the crux of this. We're gonna begin to wrap up, and I think for this segment we're gonna end it talking about the education system, because I could see that is a movement that has got to take place over the next few decades. Brother Francois, your thoughts as African leaders, Caribbean leaders are talking about how do they change the colonial education system in place that's been left in the countries from hundreds of years ago that continues to be passed down and taught to our brothers and sisters on the continent and the Caribbean. And also your thoughts you listen to Brother Ty, just how to replace that colonial educational system, Brother Francois.
There is no way that we have to change this educational system, because as Brother Ty was rightfully stressing, if your people are controlling your memory, they will control everything from you. I would like to quote two documents very quickly, and to show where, of course, we should stress education. But as Dr. Claude Anderson said, and teaches us, the foundation should be always economy. Your education system will depend on the economic that you have, the economic infrastructure, the company that you control. It depends on the materials, wealth, that you own and control. And here again, as a black in America, you are facing a prolonged injustice, which the Brother Ty recalled to us by saying that from the end of the slavery in 1865 up to today, as I quote Brother Ty, saying that the structural economic situation hasn't changed. And you wonder why? Because against there is a system, and the two figures that I want to give you to show that the system owe you, the black America, a large amount of money. We have already quoted last time the book by the author Tessaly McKay, Stolen Wealth. The title of the book is Stolen Wealth, Hidden Power, The Case for Reparations. And you know that she has reached the figures of $7.16 trillion that they owe the black in America, that the system owes you. And we should focus on reclaiming that amount of money. The second figure that I want to quote very quickly. If you remember, when there was this crisis in 2008, the U.S. government came out to save the banks. They used the Federal Reserve to print the money and distribute to banks. And there were the money that they distribute legally and the money that they distribute also under the table. And I'm quoting an official U.S. government document. It is the U.S. Government Accountability Office, USGAO. In July 2011, they went to audit and to see how the money was spent. Let me tell you, and this, the media do not make a noise. This thing happened in July 2011. The title of the document is a little bit weird. The title is Opportunities Exist to Strengthen Policies and Processes for Managing Emergency Assistance. And this is the important thing. You go at this document, you can have it on internet, and you will see at page 131, so I'm giving you the exact information, under the table, the Federal Reserve and the system has distributed $115 trillion. I mean $16,115 billion. They distribute this money under the table to 20 banks. Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, and you will not see one single black-owned bank. So the U.S. government is distributing the money to white-owned banks. This is affirmative action for the single benefits of the white society. This is affirmative action, and they are extending it to the banks owned by their cousin in Europe, because I can see even Swiss Bank, UB, Bank of Scotland, which is from UK, and Societe Generale, which is a bank from France. So you see the solidarity of the thieves.
Brother Francois, as you...
They are distributing...
Mm-hmm. Brother Francois, as you speak, you...
They are distributing the...
You talk about, you mentioned affirmative action, which goes towards education, which was a recent big case here in the Supreme Court. President Ruto and others have talked about, and we've talked about, the enormous amount of debt that's being paid back to the international banks, the Western world. And because they have so much debt, they cannot build the schools they need or change the colonial education system that has been left in place by all the missionaries and various persons over the few hundred years that's still in place. How can or what can they begin to do in the African countries, in the Caribbean countries, to begin to change, to get rid of this centuries-old colonial education system that is in place?
Is it to me to answer?
Yes, Brother Francois. Mm-hmm. They are saying that they have to change. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You have to change. You start by the curriculum. You put Africa at the center. You put Africa at the center of the curriculum. And you put the improvement of global Africa as the goal of your educational system. Africans have never aggressed other people. It is always people who came to Africa to aggress us. So when you put this, you put Africa and you put global Africa as the center of your preoccupation for the educational system, and that everything that the government has to do is to improve the standards of living of your people, acting as a sovereign entity, you automatically modify the curriculum, because the family, you protect the family, you protect the children, you protect all the vulnerable people. Hmm. And you, when you have this mindset in terms of changing the curriculum, you are sure that you make sure that the budget for education is always superior to the budget of the debt that you are going to pay.
Hmm.
The interest rates. When you put this, you center all the action of the government to service your people, the curriculum can be changed easily. And the second and most important thing also is you have to do it having in mind Pan-Africanism. The greatest mistake of the African leaders when they met on May the 25th, 1963, to create the Organization of African Unity, is that they did not listen to Kwame Nkrumah, who was calling for the creation of one united political entity in Africa. Without African unity, Africa will die. Africa will perish because they will be divided into multiple small and competitive countries that external forces can dominate very easily.
Hmm.
If Africa was united, NATO would not have attacked Libya and destroyed Libya as they did. If Africa was united, the United States and the CIA would not have killed, assassinated Lumumba as they did. So unity is very strong requirement to integrate also into the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Because things doesn't come very naturally.
So you, it's interesting.
You have to.
Uh-huh, as you talk, one of the things you mentioned, you talked about, you say centering Africa, and Brother Ty said the same thing. You just said if they don't do that, Africa will die. Brother Ty said on this side, we are going towards genocide, the curriculum, the educational system. As we begin to wrap up, Brother Ty, do you have a response as you're listening to Brother Francois?
No, he's correct in putting Africa first. And educational system here, I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You put African people first.
Yeah.
I don't care about white people and their history and what they've done, because...
which has always been centered, put first.
Yeah, and the thing you keep in mind about when you tell lies, and you don't tell the truth, and the truth is not based on... oh, well, the lies are not based on truth. The foundation is built on sand, and it will eventually dissolve and come apart. And what you're seeing in America today is that the lies are showing up, and they're coming apart. America is coming apart because all peoples here in America have been lied to, including white people, about who they are. See, you know, you're saying white people have been told that they're superior. And when they look around and they see all these inferior white people walking around looking like cavemen, etc., and suffering from dementia and all these other diseases, and black people don't have half the diseases that white people have, it makes you stop and think. It creates dissonance in your mind. Dissonance is like, hey, I thought we were superior to black people. These guys, they going to Harvard School, you know, they everything, they astronauts, etc. So, oh, we ain't superior like what they say we are. But white people are not going to give up what they have. And because they're not going to give up people of color, African people here in America and in the diaspora and in Africa need to understand that we got a fight in front of us, and we got to stand, and we can't be afraid. being afraid is not an option anymore. It's past that time. You'd rather be dead and returning back to the Creator than staying and accept the situation that we're in today.
Folks, if you just joined us, today's show is going to be a continuation. Very powerful. As Brother Ty and Brother Francois have spoke, how what's been highlighted is the connection between education and economics. education, economics across the diaspora, across the world. We have spoke about the incredible amount of debt that the Africans on the continent, within the Caribbean, within America, have been up under this continuation of slavery, which, of course, you cannot educate your people if you have no money. You cannot build schools. You can't do anything. You cannot build them up as human resources. But also the extreme need, and Brother Ty just mentioned it, to act without fear. We have no choice. Otherwise, as Brother Francois said, Africa will die. Brother Ty said, we are going towards genocide. And so the moment is now. We must act. As we begin to close out, just to both y'all, just for today's show, our folks that's listening to the diaspora, Brother Francois and Brother Ty, I wanted to ask you, what should people, our folks, take from today's show? What should be a main point? What should be a thought they should take from today's show as they prepare to listen to you all again next month? Very powerful show, very profound. Brother Francois, what should our folks, my African brothers and sisters, take from today's show? What's one thing before we close out?
Just two things that we should take. The first is the imperative of Pan-Africanism.
Mm-hmm.
Pan-Africanism is not a choice. It's a vital necessity.
Mm.
Africa must unite, as Kwame Nkrumah wrote, as a title of his book, Of Perish.
Hmm.
The second thing that we should take together is this reconnection, the necessity of reconnection of the people of African descent all over the world. You have opened this show with Fela Ransom, with Fela Anikula Pokuti.
Hmm.
His music called Water. The people of Africa descend as like water. The title of the piece, in fact, is Water Has No Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Africa descend as like water.
Mm.
From our perspective, we don't have enemy. We have never hated the whites. We have never hated the Chinese or the Japanese. We are the water. We are French with other people. But they have been trying to abuse us. So by coming together as one people, the people of African descent, we can act sovereignty. And we can extend our friendly hands to others. And united and giving our number that will keep growing, we will have the greatest workforce on the earth.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons why I think that properly organized, the African and the people of African descent will be the wealthiest and the most prosperous people on this earth.
Hmm. Hmm. Thank you, Brother Francois. Powerful, powerful. Brother Ty, what should our folks, our audience, take from today's show? Very profound show. A lot of layers. Brother Ty.
You have listened to the show and probably other ones. And especially the African here in America, you need to begin to take responsibility, personal responsibility, and social responsibility for your life, especially after listening to a show like this, because we don't have we're at a critical point in history. And the only choice, if you want to live and to grow and prosper, if you want a future for your children, you have to take control of your life. And that means a lot of things that we don't have time to go into. But it's, the main word is responsibility. You got to become more conscious, consciously aware of who you are as a human being. You need to take responsibility for finding out your history, starting with your own parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and where they came from. And make that connection back to Africa, because Africa, even though we left Africa, Africa is still with us because it's our nature. And what God created at the beginning is going to be here at the end.
Today's show is powerful. Responsibility, economics, education. We can break the system, as Brother Francois said. We can break the system. And a big part of that is going to be regaining our memory back of who we are. We're going to have Tarondra Jones. This is her summer, Black Summer. Going to take us out with power. And thank you so much for joining us. And join us next week for next week's show. Thank you, Diaspora. People of the Sun, stay in the light.
What are you, nephew?
A king.
What's your mother?
A queen.
What am I?
A queen.
Are you proud to be black?
Yes.
Are you proud to be black?
Yes.
To say it like you mean it.
I'm black and I'm proud.
I'm gonna need you to say it louder than that.
I'm black and I'm proud.
I'ma keep yelling, black for the win. Look at your black skin, beautiful black woman. Ain't nothing like a big old strong black man. I can't stop staring at him. Look at your big old black eyes, the windows to the soul. When I look into them, I see all your black pride. See, black will never die, no matter how much blood we bled. Black don't crack, cause we moisturize from all those tears we shed. We are black kings, black queens, monarchs more than leaders who led.